The anonymous landlord is more than just making profit from property. The anonymous landlord is about making profit in many different ways. It's not a product, it's not a training course, it's not something you can just have. It's a way of life, a quality of life. It's a business mindset, a system of automation that shapes the way you invest in property and the way you think about property. An anonymous landlord makes loads of money and continues to grow and grow and grow wealth without giving up any time or energy or effort. Because what's the point in making loads of money from property if you can't enjoy it? I'm Tom Soan and this is The Anonymous Landlord.
Hi, this is Tom Soane and welcome to another episode of The Anonymous Landlord. And today I'm going to answer a question from Andy, who has asked, Tom, should I bother getting a survey on a house that I'm going to buy? I've bought three houses already and not bothered with a survey on any of them, and there were no visible issues. Should I bother getting a survey if there are no visible issues? And if yes, why should I do that? So thanks for the question, mate, and I'll try and answer as best I can. But the first thing I would ask you back is, what is your reason for not wanting to get a survey other than saving about £300 to £500? Because for me, a survey does so much more than just checks for defects and problems. In fact, I think there are three things I think that a survey does more than just checks the property for problems. I think a survey actually protects your exit plan, or it helps to protect your exit plan. And you've got to have an exit plan. Of course you have, whether you're going to buy a property and sell it to make that profit, or whether you're going to buy a property, refinance it and rent it out and make the profit through your monthly income. One way or another, you've got to have an exit plan. How are you going to get your money back? So a survey, in my opinion, helps protect that exit plan and makes sure it's going to happen. But I think it also makes sure that you're going to get the best yield you possibly can and the return on investment and get that as quick as you can. So I'll run through a few of those ideas here, see what you think about them. But first of all, if you're going to buy a property and then sell it, right, and get the profit from reselling the property at an increased value. So if you buy a property for 100 grand, you spend 20 grand on it, plus fees, you spend 125 grand on it, and then you sell it for 150 grand, cool, got a nice little 25 grand profit, there you go. Now, if you're going to do that, you can bet that your buyer is going to buy the property with a mortgage, right? Pretty standard. Most people buy properties with a mortgage in this country. Now, if they're going to buy the property with a mortgage, they're also going to get a survey, because their mortgage lender, your buyer's mortgage lender, will definitely be getting a survey on the property that they're buying. Also, if you're refurbishing that property throughout, then the sort of person that's going to buy that property will likely to be getting a mortgage, because, you know, you get a lot of people that buy fully refurbished, done, brand new, up together properties. They're normally the ones that buy with mortgages. So again, there's an increased rate, even higher, of that person getting a mortgage. Now, your mortgage lender is going to get a survey on the property. And you're probably thinking, yeah, great, okay, so what? It doesn't matter. I saved £400 or whatever it is at the beginning. So now let's put that into an example. If your buyer gets that survey back and the surveyor highlights a couple of leaks in the roof, or perhaps they've highlighted some rising damp that you missed. It's very easy to miss rising damp, you know, if you're not a trained damp specialist, that's for sure. Or maybe they've the surveyor highlights some rotten floorboards, or I don't know, something like that, some rotten woodwork, woodworm, anything like that. What problems with wall ties? And yes, all of those things are definitely fixable. But why would you want to wait until down the line when you're trying to get through a sale to get them fixed? And again, to give that a bit more context, if you get your survey done at the beginning, the surveyor will likely highlight those things right from the start before you purchase it. And that helps you plan your refurbishment. If you've now got to go back through that property, rip out some flooring or pull out, replaster some places because of damp, all of those sorts of things, or redo the roof or anything like that, then you could have got that all done at the beginning with your refurbishment. So it would have saved you a lot of money. But there's more. If you've got a leak or something like that, that you could have prevented at the beginning of your refurbishment, and now it's got worse and worse and worse, or similar story with damp and things like that, then the surveyor at the beginning would have picked that up. And A, it saves you money, and B, it saves you time. So now, if your purchaser's surveyor highlights all of these things that need to be done before they can purchase the property and before the mortgage lender will lend, then you're at risk now of losing that sale and having to try and resell. And that is a risk. That's a big risk. If you've got a secured buyer in there and they're going to have to pull out because there's too much work required, or there's too many defects, or the mortgage lender isn't going to lend, then that's an issue for you in two ways. First of all, you might not be able to resell it for as much money. You might not be able to resell it very quickly, but also you might not be able to resell it. There might be much more serious problems that are going to cost you a load of money that you might not have. Anyway, you get what I'm saying there, hopefully, that it protects the exit plan for resell. It enables you to see what you need to include in your refurbishment. And yes, you could go around that property and have a look around and have a sniff around and feel the wallpaper and feel the walls and all that. And I've done a couple of guides on what things to look for. But if you go around to that property and you miss something because you're not a trained, qualified surveyor, then you could get yourself into pretty serious trouble. Now, look, I'm not trying to be too extreme here, because yes, all right, it might only end up costing you an extra grand or two, or an extra couple of months. It might, but it might not. And you always have to try and protect your risk, don't you? And mitigate your risk. So the second reason it might hurt you if you don't get a survey at the beginning is if you're trying to keep that property and refinance it. So again, same thing. If you are going to get you're going to remortgage it once you've done all the work and get the money back out, a buy, refurbish, refinance, that sort of deal, then your mortgage lender is going to get a survey done on your property. Now, if that mortgage lender sends the surveyor and the surveyor says, no, you've got rising damp, you've got rotten woodwork, you've got woodworm, you've got the wall ties need attention, there needs to be repointing done, the lead flashing's faulty, there's a leak here, there's, you know, blah, 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 blah. The pipes aren't up to regulation. Anything that you might miss, you know, unless you are a trained surveyor, you might miss these things, no matter how experienced you are. And I'll tell you what, here's a quick interlude, that the top investors in the country get surveys, not just to check for problems, but to protect their exit plan and to make sure that the person that buys the property or the mortgage lender that lends on that property isn't going to find things later down the line after they've spent 20 grand doing a property up. Because then they might have to go back, pull out all the bloody plaster and carpets, and as I've said. So yeah, same thing if you're going to refinance that property. For the sake of spending 400 quid, it's not just about spending 400 quid either. It's an expert analysing the property to help you make sure you get the refurbishment right, or make sure you get any improvements that you do correctly. Another thing, if you're buying a property that's maybe got an extension on it, or a loft conversion, or something like that, you might look at it and think, yeah, good job. That's a good job. I'm happy with that. But wow, what about if it's not? Do you know, next door to one of my rental properties, I saw this property being, this extension being built, and it was terrible, terrible, terrible brickwork, terrible. Oh my goodness me. I even took photos of it. Actually, I might share those photos and sent it to the owner. And I said, look, we need to take some action here. Anyway, and it turns out that the person that built that extension next door just literally rendered over the front of this awful brickwork and woodwork. Oh, it was terrible. just rendered over the front of it. So you couldn't see it. It looked perfect when it was done. It looked beautiful. Unbelievable. But anyway, a surveyor would have found that. It would have been a problem. But there are also some legal issues that a surveyor will pick up on that you probably won't realise. So yes, if you're refinancing that property, your lender is going to want to get a survey done. So you can preempt that survey by having your own survey done. So I guess the next one would be that the survey, when you buy a property, gives you advice on potential problems that could just get worse over time. Like I say, leaks, damp, rot, anything like that. It's normally caused by water. And a surveyor will be able to advise you where that water is potentially going to come in the future. So that's a really good way to plan your refurbishment. And just to recap as well, by the way, your buyer is probably going to get a survey. And if you don't get this stuff done at the beginning, then you might lose your buyer, prolong the sale, or cost yourself extra money that you didn't need to. So yes, you saved yourself 400 quid with the survey, but no, you didn't do a very good job with protecting your exit plan. And then refinancing, very similar thing. And then getting advice from a surveyor is sometimes very, very valuable. And actually, I'll give you an example. One of the properties that I've just bought, it's up in Newcastle, actually. And I got a survey and the surveyor went round and came back and said, right, there is a risk of contamination. I can't remember the exact wording he used, but some sort of contamination. There's a risk of shale here, which apparently is a pretty serious thing. Now, I wouldn't have known those things. Even the agent said, what? Oh, goodness me. I would never have even guessed. Even the builder said the same thing. He would never have guessed that there was a problem with shale in that property. So, you know, now I know, got the report done. Now I know what steps need to be taken in order to protect myself from those problems. Would never have known those things. And it cost me 380 quid, including VAT. So, you know, I'm pretty pleased with that. I do think, though, what we're getting to is investing, and not just in property, Andy. I'm back to talking to Andy again, but not just in property. We're talking about investing in general. You would do as much due diligence and research as you possibly could in order to make sure your investment is safe, right? If you were going to go and buy, I don't know, let's say someone you know comes to you and said, hey, I'm starting up a business and I'd like you to invest in my company and I'll give you a share of that company. You'd research it. You'd make sure that you weren't just going, yeah, all right, yeah, sod it. Here you go, mate. You'd want to research the company, the industry, the market potential, the products, the services, the materials, the supply chains, logistics, marketing, operations, systems, IT, all of those things you would want to know about and check. You'd also want to know about risks and threats, weaknesses, areas, potential vulnerabilities to that business, right? And it's the same in property. Property is just a business. It's the same thing. You buy a product at a certain price and you make profit on it. Either that's through rent or resale. Doesn't matter. It's still a business. You buy, you sell. You buy, you sell. And so you need to responsibly do as much research as you possibly can to make sure that your investment is as safe as it can be. Now, there does come into it. I'm not calling you greedy here, Andy. I don't know you. I'm just saying that there is an element of greed in everybody. And I get it too. You know, sometimes when, again, the place I just bought, I went to refinance it. So it was bought with cash and it completed a few months back. And I went to refinance it and the mortgage lender sent their surveyor out. And the surveyor came back and said, there's loads of rising damp. Oh, I said to the builder, did you not see that? And he said, no. He said, actually, there was no sign of it. And he checked. And I believe him. I trust him. But rising damp is one of those things that sometimes you might miss and then it gets worse and then it comes out. So the surveyor found it and it cost me an extra 2.5 grand. But it also cost me an empty property for a couple of months. It meant that my money was tied up for another extra couple of months, which also meant that I couldn't buy more property with the money that was tied up. So I lost a lot on that one. And so, you know, really the thing is you've got to get your money out as quickly as possible. So you've got to take those steps to make sure you can get your money out as quickly as possible. So back to the question. And again, I'm not saying you were greedy, Andy. I'm just saying that sometimes we all have this subconscious greed that we don't realize. We're thinking, oh, do I really want to spend that 400 quid or 500 quid, whatever it may be? Maybe I'll just skip that and sod it. If it goes wrong, it goes wrong. I'll take a chance. Well, there's another little element here, isn't there? There's the educational element. The more surveys you read, the more educated you become on property investing. Because surveyors are vital to property investing. They act for the mortgage lenders. They act for the buyers. They don't act for you, Mr. and Mrs. Seller. So if you're reading their reports, you start to learn what requirements they're looking for, what sorts of things they're looking for. So that then when you're going around viewing properties to buy and rent out or buy and sell, then you're looking for the same things. And look, I mean, I've got a bit of an advantage here in that I've been doing this for years and I've read hundreds of survey reports and I've seen thousands and thousands of properties. And so I have an unfair advantage. So I would urge anybody who wants to invest in property, I would say get a survey done. That's for sure. Or if you're not, when would be an instance where you wouldn't get a survey done? I've got to give a balanced view on this, haven't I? I'll tell you what, there might be an instance where you maybe wouldn't get a survey done or wouldn't be so important to get a survey done is if you're buying a fully refurbished property that was recently purchased. Now, what I mean by that, I don't mean unless if it's someone who's bought it, done it up and then sold it to you. I mean, if someone bought it fully refurbished and is selling to you fully refurbished, the chances are it's already had a survey done on it. And if it's all brand spanking new throughout, then and that was all done very recently, maybe there's a lower risk there. Now, I'm not saying don't get a survey in that instance. I would still get a survey. I would get a survey on every single property I purchase, 100%. But that's probably because I've been doing this in property, in estate agency, in lettings, in property investing for years now. So I've seen some pretty terrible stories. In fact, little weird things like people that have built extensions and not had permission, but nobody knew. Nobody knew there was no permission to build that extension. And also people that have built extensions incorrectly. Loft rooms that just were, converted, but just not according to regulation and unsafe. Now, yes, you can take out various protections against those things, but it could also cost you a lot of money in defect and problem structurally, cosmetically, all of those things. Anyway, I think I've answered the question from my own opinion, but I'd really like to know what other people think. Do you try and save a few quid on that survey? Are you that sort of person? And again, I don't think there's any right or wrong. It's just depending on what your risk comfort zones are. For me, I like to make sure that the purchase, the investment, on any investment, same when I'm buying shares, any investment that I make, I want to make sure it's as low risk as possible. Of course I do. Who wouldn't? Or if I'm going to go into a slightly riskier property, probably even more so get a survey, because I want to make sure I know all of the risks that I'm about to get myself into, and so that I can calculate that the return on my investment outweighs the risk. And that's the point, isn't it? The upside has to outweigh the downside. So I do quite a lot of that. Some of it now is instinctive. Some of it is very much calculative and I guess academic based, in that I will sit and study and research my investments. And also when I'm offering properties to other clients, I've done just as much due diligence and research on their property that I'm doing on my own. So it's really interesting, isn't it? Because yes, you do have a human instinct to try and save a few quid here and there. But yeah, I play the numbers game. if I'm going to go and buy 10 properties and spend, you know, I'm going to try and buy 10 properties, and that's going to cost me, say, 4,000 or 5,000 quid in surveys across all 10 properties. And out of those 10 properties I try and buy, I only end up completing on six or seven of them because of problems with the properties. Then I see that as a total investment in the good properties rather than losing money on the ones that I don't end up completing on. Because there's so many reasons you won't complete on a property purchase. And it could be the seller pulls out. You could get gazumped. There could be some serious problems with the property that you don't want to progress with. The mortgage lender might not lend. Yeah, loads and loads of different reasons. But do you know what? One I actually came out with is that I'd agreed to buy a property off somebody. This is quite a while ago now. I'd agreed to buy a property off somebody. And as we get down the line, it turns out that this person doesn't even own the place. And, you know, luckily I didn't spend any money on that. But I could have. But I would have accepted that if I'd have got down the... I would have probably blamed the lawyer, but I'd have got down the line and... And if I'd have spent 400 quid on a survey on that one, then I'd have got down the line and gone for that money back. But overall, if that's one of those 10 properties, then I wouldn't have been too fussed, because I see it as an overall investment in my risk. So anyway, I hope that answers your question, Andy. That's from my perspective. But yeah, I really would like to hear your thoughts on that. Shall I recap on that? Nah, I think you got it. So that's another thing, isn't it? That's another way that you can be a better version of yourself. And remember, it's like I always say, if you want to be the best version of yourself at one thing, and in this case, it's in mitigating your risk. So if you want to be the best version of yourself at one thing, then you've got to go and be your best version of yourself at everything. And I heard a really good phrase the other day, and I think I've already said this in a podcast, but a really good quote. Someone said, the way you do anything is the way you do everything. And I love that quote. And it kind of relates to what I always say. And what I mean by be the best version of yourself at one thing, you've got to be the best version of yourself at everything, that's as fast as I could say it, by the way. And what I mean by that is that it's no good just being a really good property investor if you're really terrible, I don't know, everything else, because eventually the way you do everything in your life will determine how successful you are at each one thing. So that's probably a better way to put it. If you are just a lazy person who's not interested in putting any effort into anything, then you will be that in every single one thing that you do. So I always think, just get yourself good at the next thing, the next thing, the next thing. And then everything that you ever do in your life, drive to be the best at it. Now, you might not be the best at the world at it, but you can certainly be the best version of yourself at everything you do, right? And every single one of us wants to be the best version of yourself, ourselves. You know that awesome feeling you get when you are just on top of the world one day and you just feel alert, you feel that you've got energy, you feel focused? That's a great feeling. Wouldn't you want that in everything? And I challenge everybody, actually, because I think you get those feelings and that feeling in yourself. I think you get that when you're passionate about something. So you're watching my videos and you're listening to my podcast and you probably hear that I'm a ball of energy and I'm animated and passionate and driven and all those wonderful words. Well, I really am. And that's because I'm talking about something I love and I'm doing things that I love. I love property. I love business. Absolutely love it. So when I talk about it, I get well into it and it makes me feel great. Wouldn't you love to have that great feeling all the time? So that's what I mean by to be the best version of yourself at one thing, you've got to be the best version of yourself at everything. So that was slightly off topic. Shocker, I know, you know me. I think you all know me by now that I do just wander off on a tangent from time to time. So look, that's it for me. As always, my name's Tom Soane and this is The Anonymous Landlord. Thank you for joining me, and I hope you enjoyed this podcast. But before you go to the next episode, I really want to hear from you. Just search Tom Soane on any social media, or just email me, tom@pinkstreet.co.uk. I'd love to know your thoughts on this episode. And if you need any help with your own situation, just get in touch. I'll answer every email and every message, I promise. Anyway, see you in the next podcast, and remember, being a landlord is hard. Being an anonymous landlord is easy. Invest, enjoy, repeat, and grow.